You're losing me. That's it. The bridge. Do something. Choose something. God.
When we did our first video about these voice memos and playlists, we did not have nearly enough time to digest everything. So we needed to circle back now that we've had a chance to listen. We have so many more thoughts. So the first playlist, I Love You, It's Ruining My Life, is the denial stage. And I think upon listening to the playlist, I still find this one to be like the most interesting.
It's the most shocking. I was literally just going to say that. I'm like, out of all of them, I'm still just like...
Yeah, last time we talked about like Lavender Haze being the first one, we kind of glossed over like Snow on the Beach, Sweet Nothing, and Glitch. And I think that's because I've always felt like those songs were a little bit of denial. So it wasn't that surprising to me. But one that I glossed over the first time was Willow. And I kind of always thought of Willow as a love song, but now viewing it through like the denial lens, it's so like crystal clear to me. I'm begging for you to take my hand, wreck my plans. I'm like in denial, and I'm like willing to do like the more that you say, the less I know. Like I'm willing to like give up part of myself for you. And maybe like that should have been the first red flag, you know, in the relationship.
Right. Some of them are blatantly... Like you can see, you know, it's like, oh, it was a love story at the time, like Wildest Dreams and Style and, you know, just like getting lost in it. But I think what was most interesting is like after listening to all the playlists, a lot of them made sense now and when they came out. But yeah, like Glitch, Cruel Summer, Lover. I'm like, all right, I know we're not supposed to make everything about Joe, but those songs were literally written while she was with him. They were about him. They had very distinctive references to their relationship and at the time. And so I'm like, wait a second. You weren't singing about red flags. You were just singing these beautiful love songs. And so I'm like, wow, what a full circle looking back view, like lens she did with these playlists. And I'm like, you know, at the time it was a love song, but now looking back, because that relationship ended, it's like, wait, there were red flags. I was so lost in it. But even Glitch with the, you know, like, oh, it was fate. Like, must have been a glitch. It's like, wait. So because calling that like a red flag is just once again saying like the relationship. It's like, I thought it was fate. It wasn't.
See, Glitch, I felt like I've seen red flags all over Glitch from the beginning. I was supposed to sweat you out. The lyrics in that is like, I never thought this was going to be a thing. And it's not on this playlist, but from Lover, like cat and mouse for a month or two or three. Just true. The storylines of like, will they, won't they? We weren't sure. And then all of a sudden it turned into this like great love. And so to me, Glitch is more about like that from the bigger picture of like, yeah, we were supposed to just like be a blip, but then there was a glitch. And now like 2000, whatever days the number is in the song, like somehow we're still here. And I never expected that to happen.
It's like her relationship was always so mysterious. And so like how they came about was, you know, it was fate. They met this way and, you know, she was a mastermind and everything was so like written in the stars. And it's so interesting because it's almost like she's admitting that she got carried away in how all of those things aligned and kind of made them mean something that were actually distracting her from whatever happened with them that led them down this heartbreak road. And so it's, yeah, it's really interesting. And I think just like as a whole, she sees those songs differently now. And it really like reflects how we also see her music. Those songs meant something then when we heard them. Now when we listen to them, like our experiences have changed. Hers have changed. It's just such a full circle ebb and flow of her music in general. I think it's like cool that, you know, that's like Lover again is the biggest blow. Like it feels so deeply personal to her. You saw Lover as a red flag song because of your own personal stuff from not, if you didn't know what we know, you'd be like, I don't get it. But they were playing house, and so I do get that. Once again, romanticizing, getting lost in it, all of that, just making meaning of something that really was just distracting. So I guess I get that, but I don't know. Makes me kind of sad.
People, you know, bring up, should we be talking specifically about her relationship? Should we view these songs like through our own relationships? How do you detach yourselves from those two things? Like, some people can do it better than others. Cruel Summer, when Lover came out, I remember feeling waves of emotion about that song, thinking of me back in college, like, I'm drunk in the back of the car and I cried like a baby coming home from the bar. I'm like, you know, I had moments of that. You could just like picture all of these images in your life that you can relate to those songs with. So then, as you know, when Taylor and Joe broke up, I was devastated because I was like, whoa, does this change all of those songs for me? And you were like, no, it shouldn't. It absolutely should not.
Especially with her now basically confirming, like, yeah, those songs are different and they don't mean what they meant before, but that's also okay. She's saying these songs, she feels this way about it. I'm not going to change my vibe about Lover or Cruel Summer. I'm sorry. Lover is still one of the best melodies to just like slow dance with someone that like you're in love with. I think it's just cool that she's given us like an extra layer of like, wait, critical thinking, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, it's not going to ruin it for me. Cruel Summer is still going to be my anthem. And I've always thought Cruel Summer was kind of ambiguous. It's like, is it a love song? Is it not? But regardless, right. It's a vibe. And that's, those songs are like my favorite. It's just like hits different. You're like, is this mm-hmm. sad? Is this great? I don't know, but it's all the things. So
when you and I were first discussing that, like now a year ago, you were like, chill out. Like, you're going to get over this and you're still going to be able to appreciate the song. And in the moment, I was like, will I? And I kind of feel like the releasing of these playlists and like certain songs ending up on different playlists takes me back to that moment. Seeing Cruel Summer on the Eras tour, all like negative connotations of that song or like denial or red flags, don't care. Like, all I think about now when I hear Cruel Summer is Taylor freaking popping up from the stage and those first moments of adrenaline when you're at the show, and that song will never be topped for me now. I only have happy memories associated with it, so.
Does anyone here know the lyrics to this bridge?
Prove it!
Yeah, there's many layers to her music at this point if you've seen her live, and yeah, your own experiences, her experiences, and I'm glad that you're back on the love train. Like, Molly, you are still in a happy relationship. You did not break up. That would have been really dramatic. Then I could see it a little bit more like, whoa. But
oh yeah, you know, that'd be different. I mean, you've kind of lived that more than I have, picturing certain songs like through an important relationship and that relationship ending. Like, a lot of Taylor's songs that I've related to, I'm still in that relationship, hopefully. after this podcast drops, we're still good.
You really go through it. This isn't the stage for, well, as much as I can relate to the denial stage, I feel like I relate more to the anger and bargaining, but we'll get there. The final thing I would say is I noticed a pattern with all of these playlists. She ends on a song that feels like she takes through this whole ride, and then at the end, it almost feels like an acceptance song. So like, we've got Bejeweled. And so it's like, at first glance, you're like, that's not really denial or red flag. That's you just saying like, yo, I'm a do me. But I think I like it how it's like a little capper. And like, once we like, you know, talk about the other ones, you'll see each one is very much like acceptance and like, I'm going to, you know, like me versus like the person who's causing all this pain. Like, I'm picking me first. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Bejeweled. So like, two things to note here. One is that for the most part, like, she lumps songs from the same album together, like in the order of the playlist. Right. So like, the Midnight songs start the playlist, but then she put Bejeweled there at the bottom of the playlist, and it comes after Superman, which is like so funny to me because Superman is a song of like, you're totally idolizing the person you're in a relationship with. Like, you are my Superman. I'll watch you fly away. I'll be here waiting for you. Like, oh my gosh. And then Bejeweled is like flipping that on its head of like, I'm going out tonight. Like, I'm not waiting for you anymore. Like, don't put me in the basement. And so like, just those two songs back to back, it's like, whoa. And I still don't see Bejeweled as a denial song. Like, I feel like, to me, it's almost more in the anger, like the next one we're about to get to, because it's like, okay. Or, but maybe, I don't know, maybe she thinks of it as denial because it's like, I'm still with you despite the fact that I'm starting to feel these things. So I'm like in denial.
Like, there's red flags because I'm starting to feel like you don't value me the way or see me the way that I see me. But I like that she ends, like, it's like, yeah, I've gone through it. But as we all know, she does seem to always choose herself first, regardless of the heartbreak, which I think is just those cappers kind of just like really, you know, shed light.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got anger.
Yes.
You don't get to tell me about sad songs.
What are your takeaways?
I think the anger one's pretty straightforward. I was trying to go back and be like, are there any songs in here that I feel like aren't where they should be? And I was like, no, I mean, it's pretty accurate. And like,
pretty on point.
It's a punch out the gate with like vigilante shit. And then all of a sudden it starts to like, you know, then it's like high infidelity, woulda, coulda, shoulda, like we're ramping. And then I feel like it kind of mellows a little bit. Slower with Exile, Illicit Affairs, Mad Woman, Tolerate It. And then I feel like Tolerate It starts to kind of ramp again. And then it just gets into the kind of like fun anger of like, ah, like, you know, the young stuff. And then I feel like it gets deeper again with the Dear John, Better Than Revenge, you know. And so it's like, I feel like this one was really like a journey of going through the emotions of anger, starting out kind of confident, kind of like, you know. And then being like, wait, I'm kind of sad about this.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think this one is my favorite because a lot of my favorite songs from each album ended up on this playlist. Yeah. And I never like related all of these to anger, but it adds up because, as you know, I love to channel some anger about things into songs. So what I could have, should have. One of my favorites off of Midnight's. I saw this when we did our last video that Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda and Exile were on this playlist, but listening to it and going from Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, that song like knocks me over every time I hear it. And then into Exile, which is one of my tops off of Folklore, I was like, whoa, I wasn't mentally prepared for that. I don't ever listen to those songs together, ever. And I don't see Exile necessarily as an angry song, just exactly like you were saying. I think of it as a sad song. Mm-hmm. But in this context, I'm like, okay, yeah. I feel the anger now. I gave so many signs.
I know. I feel like Exile could have been like bargaining. I was like, you know, it also Tolerate It, I found to be really interesting because as we all know, Tolerate It is my vibe. And I remember when I used to listen to it, when I was going through it, I was singing it from a bargaining perspective of like, I'm still in it. And so anger, I don't know. I mean, I guess once you hit that bridge though, you're like pretty
believe
like,
me, I could do it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm gonna walk out. Dude, that bridge gave me so much hope and motivation. There were so many times on the kitchen floor, cry, yelling, singing, whatever to the song and like being like, I'm gonna walk out right now. I didn't, but you know, it temporarily made me think that I could. So I do get the anger like part there. You're like, yeah, it's just like a little boost that you need. Just,
and like, then you go from like Tolerate It to Bad Blood and you're like, all right, screw you. Get out of here. We've got Bad Blood now. I took the dagger out and now we've got Bad Blood. I'm bleeding everywhere.
And then, yeah, then she just sneaks Dear John in, like, towards the end, and you're just like, oof, we're going back to this. But then, once again, I like how she ends it with, like, Mr. Perfectly Fine, because it's, once again, like, I wouldn't say that's, like, an angry song. That feels like almost an acceptance, or a red flag, I don't know.
I feel like this song's salty.
Yeah, petty. It's too bad there's not a petty phase, which I guess this can kind of double up.
Yeah. But
regardless, she's like, yep, here's this guy. He thinks he's so cool.
Yeah.
An interesting capper as well, again.
I listened to The Last Time a lot off of Red. And so I love that that was on here. And I think The Last Time and Exile are kind of like sister songs in my brain. The moment I knew, I pretty much always skip on Red. And when I was listening to this playlist, I remembered why. Because it's so sad. Yeah. So sad.
I know. It should be on the depression playlist.
That moment in the relationship where you finally realize, what am I doing? The person didn't show up when they were supposed to. They didn't show up for you. And now you finally know. And it like took getting to that point to know that it was over. Mm-hmm. And that's why I never want to go down that path and listen to that song. I'm like, it's a depressing AF, but followed by Babe. Babe is like my angry bop.
Right? I know. On to bargaining. Am I allowed to cry? It's funny, when the playlist started, I know we talked about the Great War before, I was like singing the song without realizing it was the Great War. And I was like, oh, this is like, you know, kind of a vibe. And I was like, well, wait, this is the song Molly was talking about.
I know, Justice for the Great War.
I'm still not going to seek it out, but I was vibing while it was playing.
See, this is what's so funny to me. I know that you like the bops better, but then you like love Tolerate It because of the lyrics and like the slow build. And I think the Great War is like exactly the same. A slow churn, like you're marching in a war, and then you get to the bridge and it's like,
dude, like you're losing me, but we won't jump ahead. So I remember when I like saw like Cornelia Street being on there and being confused, because I always just saw that as like her and Joe's like love song. It's where she lived. It's where they spent a lot of time. But after like listening to it again, it sounds like a please don't let this end because I'll be wrecked, you know, which we knew she said that. But I mean, like, it really feels like that's like the whole vibe. And then Renegade, which we had talked about, which is the capper, makes so much more sense because I feel like I was confused just like listening to the lyrics, especially because I know you'd sent me that song. We talked about that before. And after listening to it myself in the past, being on the edge of something, come on. It's like, oh yeah, I get it. But once again, ending on a level of acceptance. All right, get it together or else, like, you know, it feels like less of like a plea bargain and more of like a, yo, like a threat almost, you know, like Renegade's ending, which I feel like thinking about that, like Bejeweled is kind of like a threat too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I always kind of thought of Cornelia Street as a love song because it's like things almost didn't work out. I almost like left and but then we came back together. And so seeing it as like a bargaining phase now and like putting it in there with like Afterglow, which, you know, it's like you're fighting and then you're like apologizing. So you're like, I'm sorry, like I blew things out of proportion. And
Afterglow is like the bargain song.
Right? God. It's like, I'll take the blame. It's all my fault. Like, let's just try to get back to like where we were before.
Oh my God. I was listening to it today. It was fun. Like you said earlier, it's like, because she compiled all the songs in this way, all of a sudden I'm listening to them differently with that, like as the overarching, like, oh, this is a theme. There's a purpose to this, which was like really fun. Cause it's almost like listening for the first time. And yeah, I was in the kitchen listening to Afterglow. Also, it's like, does anybody else do the, like, when it hits the, like, dun, 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 like, beats, I was, like, I don't know, like, air punching them or, like, stomping on the ground. I don't know. I was going through it this morning.
That's me during Say Don't Go. I'm, like,
don't go. It's so good. I'm so glad she put it on here.
Yeah, and we acknowledged it last time, but better man.
I know. Bargaining, it seems interesting. I feel like that could have been more like angry or like,
yeah,
you're not really bargaining. You're saying, hey, you ain't it. So there's nothing to bargain because I wish you'd been better, but you're not.
One of the people in our comments put something in there that I thought was really interesting. The playlist all makes so much more sense if you've been through a relationship that like takes a long time to end. Like there's not, you don't just wake up one day and realize I don't like you anymore. It's death by a thousand cuts. There are slow things throughout the relationship that finally lead to one day it not working out. And so putting Better Man here, I feel like is a good reflection of that. It's like, to me, if that's how you're feeling, why are you bargaining? Like, this should be over. Like, what are we doing? But so many people get to that point and still decide to stay for whatever reason.
Yeah. For whatever reason, you know? Love's a crazy thing. Yeah, that's true. It's like, if I listen to the playlist from start to finish, like flowing into one another, you'd be like, damn, it is accurate. And also shout out to our commenters on YouTube who had the most insightful things to say, like that commenter included. Love is very, very layered, as Taylor knows more than anyone. And this is just a huge, giant map of reflecting that. And it's kind of wild.
I also saw a theory that you could assign these different albums to the stages of like grief as well. Lover would be
denial.
The denial.
Yeah. Yikes.
Folklore, the angry. Evermore, the bargaining. Midnight's depression. And Tortured Poets is acceptance. Again, I don't think Taylor like thought of it that way. I just thought, I'm like, if you think about it that way, it does make some sense to me.
I like that. Yeah, Reputation wouldn't really fall like exactly somewhere because I right. feel like it was denial if it was going to be anywhere, but with like some anger.
I wish that the Reputation songs were on these playlists.
I know. Because... I want to know where she would put them.
I know.
That's all I really want to know. I'm like, okay, well, they're so Joe-coded and maybe that she was probably grateful that she didn't have to assign them and once again be like, oh yeah, you have Cruel Summer, Gorgeous, Call It What You Want, and it's just like all these things and Dress, and you're like, oh, King of My Heart, dude, King of My Heart, denial, red flag. Red flag. No, she's still doing that. She's dating a football player, let's be honest.
It's a anyway. Red solo cup. How did you not see the red flag?
So obvious.
We're on to depression. Old habits die screaming.
You're losing me. That's it. I was listening to it again today and was just like, oh my God, the bridge. But I was actually surprised that this song wasn't in the bargaining phase as well. Or anger. I don't know. Maybe bargaining more just because of the bridge. Like, do something. Say something, you know, like you're not there yet. As we said before, in her voice memo, she's talking about, oh yeah, when you're lonely or hopeless, when I'm listening and writing certain songs, I'm usually in a phase close to getting past that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so once again, being like, wait, so you made the song in 2021, you were very still in a relationship, and yet here's this song. She was already on the fourth stage, but still had a year to go. And it's just showing like, you know, she probably got pulled back in. And as we all know about the stages of grief, they don't always go in order. You know right. what I mean? Like you might yeah. be starting here and dip in and then go backwards. And like, they are not one direction.
I see depression and you're losing me more in the beginning of the song of looking at this room. Like we left it because of the light. Now I just sit in the dark and wonder if it's time. My yeah. face was gray, but you wouldn't admit that we were sick. It's like, I am so depressed. Do you care? Do something about it. And then the line, I know my pain is such an imposition. If that's how you're feeling towards your partner, that like your pain is an imposition to them, you are at the lowest of lows. That's an awful feeling.
God, that bridge is so freaking iconic. Also, I think I sent you the TikTok about equating it to your corporate job or your job in general. And like, for anyone who can't relate to this on a relationship level, go listen to it in that context. And damn, you'd be screaming that at your boss. Do something. Choose something. Like, God, you're losing me. I'm gonna quit. Anyway, it was a fun, like, lighter way to listen to it, you know? Because like, yeah. relationship-wise, you're like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Like some days I like can't put it on because it's too deep, but now it's kind of right. fun to once again, like make meaning of it differently and be like, oh yeah, right. I could apply this to like anyone.
That's what I love so much about Taylor's songs is that I was listening to Reputation some this week and I'm
You're
seeing
not
things
allowed to listen. We've talked
okay,
about
I was,
this.
We were watching the Eras Tour. Okay.
Whatever.
So it was Taylor's version technically. Mm. And I'm like thinking of songs in just different light and how, yeah, like we were just talking about like, could you see even red flags there? And that's what I love so much about Taylor's music. Like you can listen to certain songs and think about them one way, and then a year later, or maybe you go through something, you see it in a totally different way, and the lyrics can really like shapeshift for you. My Tears Ricochet, perfect example. Like right after you were losing me, I haven't actually like listened to this playlist yet in full, but if I had, I imagine going from Dear Reader, Maroon, You're Losing Me, My Tears Ricochet would freaking wreck me. But My Tears Ricochet at surface value is written about a woman who was tormented and her tormentor shows up at the funeral and blah blah blah. Like she wrote about that in the liner notes for Folklore. But I've always seen that through the lens of her grieving losing her work and mm-hmm. it being taken from her. And yeah. the people who took it from her, if I'm dead to you, why are you at the wake? Why are you doing mm-hmm. this to me? So like, You're Losing Me, followed by My Tears Ricochet, again, epitome of lowest points in her life around this time. And so good. So good.
And then ending with White Horse. Again, I found that to be really interesting. It's like acceptance. Like, it starts out going one way and then ends just being like, I'm not your princess. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't it. It could have been in the denial phase, but I feel like, once again, it was like so purposefully put here to be like, we're trending towards acceptance. And, you know, that was, that was the
delusion. It's still really sad. Yeah. It's still really depressing, but you're like processing, like, it's too late. Yeah.
And then last, the acceptance, which I still, not that I don't relate to that. That sounds like really dark, but I've never reached acceptance. I don't know what it feels like. I don't like feel as much with this playlist, but again, that's because I live in the anger bargaining. I don't know. I live in literally all the four ones before, but the biggest song I thought that was really interesting was like the Now That We Don't Talk. I've never listened to it as like an acceptance song, more of like a, oh, like I'm trying to get over this person and, you know, struggling with this breakup or whatever. After thinking about it, it's like, I'm accepting, it's over, and you know, it's actually better like that we don't talk
anymore.
Wait, this is a good thing. I don't have to like be this person anymore. Also, that song's a banger, and I think in the beginning I didn't give it enough, but
facts. Wow, you've come around on the Great War and Now That We Don't Talk in this
okay
video.
Well, I listen
so
to
happy.
Now We Don't Talk all the time. Great War, I'm still probably not going. I like it from a critical thinking perspective, but I'm not gonna go like hit play and like, but Now That We Don't Talk is, you know, Jack Antonoff in the freaking flesh.
Oh, yes. I like Now That We Don't Talk both from like a relationship perspective, but also a friendship perspective, because when a friendship ends, when you used to be really close to someone and maybe something happens and you think about them and, oh, like maybe a year ago, I would have sent this funny video to you, or maybe some important thing happens in their life and you found out about it through friends or social media or whatever. And you're like, did you get anxious on the way home? I guess I'll never, ever know. It's like when you know someone so well and you know how like they receive things or process things, or you used to be there for them in those kinds of moments, and now you're like, that's not the person anymore, you're that's not the friendship or relationship, it's so hard to deal with. Like, you can be okay with it that it's over and still kind of have that gut feeling of like, oh, thought about them again, oh well, like there's nothing I can do about it, we can't talk for whatever reason, I can't revisit that, but doesn't mean it doesn't cross my mind sometimes.
Also, sometimes the unknown is just so frustrating, even if you don't really care, which I feel like Taylor probably feels the same way, having so many different relationships. It's like, I have a guy I dated when I was 19 who I do not give a shit about, but to this day he has no social, no nothing, and so I was just like, what is he doing? And I remember like randomly Googling him and inadvertently like the last however many years and being like, why am I doing this? Why do I care? But it's like, I don't know, the mystery. We don't talk anymore. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's like,
are you
someone
worse
that was
since
important?
We broke up? Are you better? I don't care, but I kind of care. It's weird.
Well, it's just someone that was important to you at one point in your life. And that's just like so weird that you can be so close to someone and know like all of their thoughts. And then one day, poof, you don't anymore.
And in the day and era, or the era now of blocking, I'm sure that's even worse. You're like, wow, I literally can't. You have written me off. The other song I thought was interesting was like This Love, because it, like when she talks about in the voice memo, like making room for more good in your life. And when we lose things, we gain things too. And it's like, not to mention Travis, but you know, This Love is a love song and it's talking about like new love. And I think it's perfect for the acceptance phase of that was a ride, but I'm better for it. And also, better things came into my life.
See, I always thought of This Love as a relationship with the same person, and like it didn't work at one point, but now maybe it can work again. These hands had to let it go free, but this love came back to me. Now we're trying it again in a different phase of our life, and maybe the timing was just off, which is why it kind of confuses me that it's on acceptance, because I'm like, wait.
Well, maybe the This Love, maybe she's talking about like multiple loves. Like,
maybe.
I let this one go. This love, you know,
I viewed on 1989 like This Love and Clean as like two different phases. Like, This Love is you're trying it again, and then Clean is like, I'm finally done with it. So I thought it was interesting that she put those back to back here.
And then Invisible String, which was obviously a big one that we talked about. I thought the weirdest part about it being on there, aside from it being Joe coded, is that it had specific, it's like the denial phase with Glitch and stuff, it's like specific examples of things that she did in that relationship. So it's like, wait a second, you're actually able to take that song and think about it in a different way and not equate it to that. That's really impressive. Some of her songs are too specific and I get like stuck in them and be like, who else does this apply to, you know?
Right. A commenter also said maybe it's on this playlist because of the line, cold was the steel of the axe to grind for the boys who broke my heart. Now I send their babies presents. That like in the song itself, there's acceptance about other relationships.
True.
And like, and maybe the hope that like she'll get there and probably is there now with another one ending, even if that's what it was originally written about.
And then ending on breathe.
If I just breathe without you, but I have to. Yeah.
Interesting ending. I wish it'd been a little bit more like uplifting.
Yeah, I feel like clean would have been a solid ending.
Yeah, you're right.
Or I forgot that you existed, actually. That would have been perfect.
Oh, that would have been good. Just like ending with a like, whoop.
Yeah.
Closing with petty. Well, I am definitely going to enjoy some of these playlists now for just what they are. And I need to listen to them literally song after song and just go through it. Just go on the ride, the roller coaster.
Yeah,
music.
Yeah, there are certain songs that I like wouldn't normally listen to, and so I was trying to like make myself stay with them for the purpose of getting the whole playlist picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I always listen to Taylor in albums, what vibe I'm feeling that day. So it was like weird for me to listen to them, like I said before, Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, and then Exile. Like I've never listened to those two songs back to back.
You're finally listening like I do.
Yeah,
I cannot listen to an album all no. Like, as I've joked before, it's, you know, you're no skip Molly. Sometimes I'll listen to an album on shuffle because it's more interesting that way, which ruins the whole point. But I'm just like, I don't know, I get bored with just a straight album. So I love a good playlist, just like bopping around all the different eras.
Taylor's one of the only people that I do that with.
No skip?
Well, no, just like listening to the full album. I mean, I never did that before Taylor. And then with 1989, I just felt like that album as a whole is so cohesive and like ebbs and flows. And that ever since then, I listened to that start to finish. Now I just listen to all of her albums start to finish. Like, oh, today's a folklore day. Okay.
I feel like I do like what she did with these playlists and just I collect a bunch of songs for the vibe that I'm feeling. And I'm like, now I'm going to listen to this song and just, oh, going to pop over here. And so it's kind of cool that she did the work for me. Granted, they're very specific. And it's like, do I want to listen to just a bunch of depressing songs? I mean, yes, some days I do.
Some days.
So she just made an updated version of the album or the playlist you made for me of happy, sad, and anger. So
yes.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Tay.
Thanks.
Thanks for keeping us fed before Tortured Poets releases. Counting down the days. I know I keep saying it, but Taylor release days are the freaking best. I cannot wait to have new songs listened to for the very first time with you.
And we'll be reunited again. It's always a good reason to be like, okay, I'll at least see you in April.
Yes.
To think when you used to listen to release, we used to listen to albums not together.
I know.
Released.
Forever changed. Let us know what your new thoughts are with the playlist now that you've sat with them for a couple of days and what we got wrong, what we missed, because you guys called us out on the first one. I'm sure there's a lot more that we missed on the second pass through.
What's your favorite? What are you vibing with? Have you listened to all of them in order? Is there someone out there who's done it? Probably. How did it feel?
Thanks for listening to this episode of Hits Different, a Taylor Swift podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a like, follow, subscribe, rate, or review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X @ItHitsDiffPod. Bye.